This meeting to order at 6:05 PM. And we're going to stare at Mark Garofalo and we're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God.
Indivisible.
Indivisible and.
Liberty.
Liberty and justice.
That was awful.
Oh my God. I should have a pledge leader. That wasn't good.
That was bad.
Talking, so I lost all of my confidence. That's what happened. Leave me out there. Rolling around. Okay, roll call, please. Let me know if you're here. Ray Bowers.
Here.
Jimmy Butler. Can see him. Jim. Jim Butler. Nope. I see his name. I don't know what he's doing. Okay. Chris, are you here? Chris Carloni? Brian Capolo?
Here.
You're here, good. Rob Forte?
Here.
Mike Gray?
Here.
Carla Malerba?
Here.
Carla's here. Rose, are you here? Oh, I see Jim again. I'm counting you, Jim. Rose Petoso? Sam Palastro? Somebody just called in? Nope. And I'm here. Okay. We have seven. That's enough. We have the best ones here. It's a little joke. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak at this time? Is there anyone from the public who would like to say anything?
Madam Chair, would you want me to comment now or when we start the process?
Depend. Are you commenting as public or as treasurer?
No, as treasurer. No, as finance director.
That's fine. Oh my God. See, I told you, this is not my night. This is not going to go well. Okay. Yes, as finance director, just hold on a little bit, please.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you.
Walter might get mad if you commented as treasurer. Anyone else from the public, or is there anyone in the public who wishes to speak? This will be the last call.
Judy, it's Brian from the Storms.
Hey, Brian.
I was just popping here now. Just wanted to ask why we're getting cut our funding again. We come here year after year to explain how we're, you know, our collections continue to go down and our expenses continue to increase. We've provided every documentation and proof that the money we have is continuing to deplete. And we're again turning to the city for help.
Right. The good news is, Brian, we didn't cut you. The good news is we took part of your funds and we moved them over to our special working balance because you indicated that you were most worried about having enough money in there should something happen to one of the vehicles or something, and you didn't want to eat up your entire rainy day fund. So we moved it over into special working balance. The rest of it, I'm not sure if it was exactly all of it. I think we moved 20 over. So that if something comes along, in fact, that you have a cushion. That was the pleasure of the board so far. Of course, we haven't voted on that yet. So that's what they talked about the other night. Okay.
Okay. If maybe just offline, we could discuss on how that would kind of.
Oh, sure.
What we'd have to do, you know, to be able to get those funds if we needed them.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
We did. We didn't just cut blindly. So.
Okay. Thank you.
And this is Brian Capolo here. I thought we talked about putting that on a lockbox, so to speak, so it couldn't be used for anything other than the ambulance corps, correct?
That's a special working balance. We tag them in there, and so you can't spend it on somebody else.
But it can't. Okay, so it can't be slushed into something else that's special working, correct?
Not unless the person who is earmarked for, and we're getting towards the end, and they say we're good. So then.
Okay, I just wanted that to be clear to Brian as well. Okay, all right. I just wanted that to be known to Mr. Mezzapelle as well. Okay.
Yeah, good point. Very good point. Yeah, and like he said, offline we can explain the process to you because we have quite a few items in there that are very similar. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
I think it's a step up from the straight cut last year, so you're making progress. Little by little, you're wearing us down. Anyone else from the public who wishes to speak? All right, I'm going to close the portion. Anybody else come in since we started? Do I have Chris, Rose, Sam? Nope, okay. We have some people here. I'm going to put the budget up on the board, guys, and then we're going to talk to the people who are kind enough to drop in to talk to us a little bit about their department, okay? So hang on. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Share. Bam. Let me know when you can see that, guys. Can you guys see that?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Well, yeah. There it is.
Sarah?
Didn't see it.
Dan, see it?
We see it.
Okay. We're going to go with appropriations. Come on. Computer. There we go. So we're going to start with Carlo. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Yours is a very small thing. Just letting you off so easy because you were very good keeping yours down. Okay, I can't find anything tonight. Where is the building department?
It was down, Judy. You had it.
Bam. Yep.
Yeah.
That's not it.
It's a go to 6100.
6100?
Yeah, you had it. Go down. Yeah, go up or go further down.
There it is. Yeah. Okay, thank you. We were only curious about, and it wasn't me, I have to tell you, but someone, I don't remember who, was curious about your education line. You see it's in yellow there. We were just wondering why it doubled.
That includes co-books, seminars, and conferences that we attend for myself and whoever's working in my office.
Okay.
Especially co-books. Co-books, every year we have to spend quite a bit of money on them.
Okay, so it was, I believe, only 1,000 last year?
No, it was 3,000 last year, and it got cut back into 1,500.
Well, when I say it was, it's what you ended up with. Yeah, not like what you asked for. So you ended up with 1,000 last year, but the thing is you still have 84% left as of, what's this, March 1st, Keith?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, but I have to buy the next year's books coming up, so I will utilize that money. And there was two conferences that were canceled because of COVID. One at the Massachusetts, they do at the for the regional conference, the yearly conference. Mm-hmm. And the other one's in Hartford, and it was also canceled. So most of the events that we use that money for, we have used zero because of the COVID.
So, but still then would beg the question for this year. So you're just asking for the same amount you asked before we cut you back last time. Is that what you're saying? You feel that's the amount you need, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. That's all I needed to know. Thank you very much, Carlo. Any of the board have questions for Carlo regarding that?
Madam Chair.
Yeah, say your name when you go in because I can't see you guys. So.
Madam Chair, just to let the record reflect that Mr. Carloni has entered into the meeting.
He has. Very good. Alrighty. Thank you, Mark. Okay, and no questions for Carlo? Okay, thank you very much for stopping by.
Thank you, guys. Have a safe night, and I'll see you guys soon. Take care.
Okay, you too. Alrighty. I'm taking this out of yellow because we talked to him. Bam, mission accomplished. Doesn't mean it's been accepted, but that's the only question we had. All right, so I'm going pink on this one. Next online would be Mr. Fire Marshal Phil.
3,400, Judy. 3,400.
Thank you. Hold on, I got to get the right pink here. All right. You just sound a lot like Mr. Rogers. 3,400, you said?
Yes.
You'd think I'd know by now, wouldn't you, all this time? Guess not. Sometimes with computers, you don't need to remember anything, really. Just look it up. For yours, I noticed that this already did change in your one you sent back to me, Keith. So is that?
Yes, ma'am. That what we do with that is any raises which they've not been approved or signed by the mayor, we put that into the special working balance. So we took the 8,951, brought it back to the current year 77,808, and any such discussions once it's finalized, we'll move it back down.
Okay, thank you. So we got that, and then we've got the. So the ones, can you see those, Phil?
Yes.
All righty. So it looked like those things were all, I don't know if they were all higher or they didn't get spent. Could be COVID related. We know that's going down, just like Carlo mentioned. Well,
education, I cut my budget $1,000.
Okay.
From last, less budget.
Yep.
I'm in the same boat where because of COVID, there was conferences that we missed because they were canceled. Week-long conference in New Hampshire that we go to, and then the Connecticut Fire Marshal Seminar was canceled.
So all right.
That money was sitting there, unfortunately, because it was canceled.
Okay, now how about your, what is wrong with me? Your vehicle maintenance. That was 1,100, no, it was 1,000.
1,000, stood the same.
Still the same, and again, not much spent for.
Yeah, this it's a newer vehicle, so I basically oil changes, and I just had the truck detailed to get it ready. Because of the new truck, it wasn't that much this year.
It probably won't be much this next year because you're going to drive it carefully. You could probably go down a little on that, right?
Well, I couldn't. If I need more, I could come back.
You can always come back. How about 750?
Woo-hoo. All right.
Yeah?
All right.
Much. So it's a new car. Drive carefully. You'll be screaming around there. All right, 750. Thank you, Phil. How about, now we've got supplies and equipment.
Yeah, I cut that 375.
Again, we saw not much spent, though, so that's what always, this is what catches our attention when we see not much spent, so we try to find out why.
Radios, I cut that, 395, the next one down.
Yeah. So do those kind of go along then with the amount left, because you had more left, you're cutting it down a little bit? Does that make sense?
I'm sorry. Say it again. I missed what you
said. Because you didn't spend all of it. That's why you brought it down a little bit because of that reason. So from 3,375 to 3, and then from 1,395 to 1,000. Okay, that makes sense. All right, perfect. Anybody from the board have any questions for Fire Marshal?
One of the things I would like to let the board know, because I went through my past budgets, counting this one, in the past five budgets that I submitted, not counting the raises, I basically cut my budget $8,550.
Yep.
So I've been cutting every year.
Yeah, no, we know that. But you got your vehicle too, right? So kind of all worked out. But you're racking up an enormous amount of brownie points, Phil, just so you know. And tax avoid brownie points can go a long way, so don't you worry.
Well, I tried to work with you and cut where I could.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Thanks, Phil. So nothing from the board? No questions? All right. Thank you much. Now we've got our lady from the senior center. Is it Christine?
She might be on. I know she was.
Or I think earlier.
She was sick. She was trying.
She's
on.
What's her name? They're way down at the bottom, I think, right?
They're at 6,800. She and I met today.
Okay.
Christine, you want me to go through the revised numbers, or you want to take it, or what do you want to do?
However you guys want to go.
I'm not hearing her, so.
Okay, why don't you go ahead.
Let's go through the revised numbers, ma'am. So we met today, Christine went back and looked at everything. On the transportation, 250,0250.
Yep.
That request of 12,476 was the 8,000, and then it was the 4,000 for the driver. So
yep.
That's a hard number she had from the trips that she sponsors or they sponsor, not the trips, you know, the bingo one or the long trip ones like the casinos and whatnot. People do pay for it. These are just the straight trips. She's asking for the again. She did some shuffling here. So if we go through them all, Judy, you'll see that it is a net either reallocation or a slight deduct.
Okay.
So transportation.
And I believe we went ahead. We still cut her, though, a little bit on that. We understood this is the driver, the 82. We figured because they're doing a lot of picking seniors up at their homes and special schedules that maybe they could chip in a little bit, too, for the transportation. I think that was our thinking. What else have you got?
On contracts, 330,336.
Mm-hmm.
She's looking to reduce that to 3,000.
All right.
And then the next line office expenses, taking hard costs, because we looked at her copier cost, and we looked at her other expenses, that goes up instead of the 8,500 and not the 3,000 you have, but go to 5,352. And that, we looked actually at her copier lease and we looked at her other office expenses, and that's a hard number. So the 4,500 goes down to 3 for contracts.
Yep.
Office expenses goes up to, this is a request, I'd ask, 5,352.
And why did it go up though? That was our question to start with.
Because the copier lease went from contracts to office expenses.
Okay. So we're literally, okay, gotcha. Yeah. So we want what, 5,300 here?
Yeah, please, 5,352 is the number.
5,352?
Building operations, she can go down to 13,230 from the 20.
Well, one second. You can ask me later. Copier moved here from contracts. Okay, bam.
Building operations, you have 20,000. She can go to 13,230.
She can go down?
Yes, to 13,230.
Okay.
Now for instructors, I'll just give you the numbers and then the philosophical discussion you guys could have directly. But we took the instructors, the actual each employee, we took what they work or have worked and their rates, and we come up to that line is 31,230. And that's in a normal annualized year, taking all of the current instructors and the current programs.
But it's been lower every year before that we have, at least on here. That's what we don't understand. It was 21, 26, 25.
I can only say we took every employee and we went name by name, and I have a spreadsheet I could send you. The hourly rate, well, how many hours they work, what program they serve. And of course, this year is not a good year to use because they haven't been operational for a quarter of a year. But if you guys want to, that's the number for the current programs. If it gets reduced, then Christine and the senior center have to decide what programs they want to adjust. I just took current programs, the current labor force, current labor rate, and that's the number we got. So if there's program changes, you'll find a reduction there. But that's for you guys to discuss.
And Keith, can I just say something? I haven't added any programs. I haven't added any new instructors. This is what the instructors that when I came in, these were their salaries and what they were making. And all I did was take their salaries and what they were making and add them up for the year because the numbers were not jiving. So, okay. I mean, that's all I did. I just took what they make per week, what they do for their classes, and I added it up and, you know, divided it by 12 months. And this is what their bottom line salaries are. I didn't, none of them have gotten an increase. This is what they were making when I came in. So I'm not really sure how to explain the other number.
Yeah, because it doesn't look like you would have been able to pay them then in previous years. So exactly. Do they get paid? Do they get like a salary like you're going to do all these classes, or do they get paid for each appearance?
No, they get paid per week per class. that they run. So
what if they don't show up? What if the class gets canceled?
They don't get, if they don't show up and the class is canceled, no, they do not get paid for that.
So they're like instructor. So
if there's a snow day, we don't pay them. Anything like that, they're not paid for.
So could that be then your normal attrition, your normal class cancellations average out to about 4,000 a year, and that's why it runs, although if, because this 29,750 you're asking for, that assumes that all the people you have at the current rate show up for every class that you're talking about, right? That's a full schedule.
I just based that off the year, yes.
Okay.
Off of what, we didn't have a lot of snow days this year, I don't know. I mean, but then throwing in the fact that we haven't closed since mid-March, that kind of skews the number, but I still added it as if we were open all this time.
Okay.
So I don't, we had a mild winter, so we didn't have a lot of closed days, so.
Mm-hmm. I'll leave it up to the members to decide if we want to go with the full banana, or I guess enchilada, or with a little bit less, because I mean, classes
he says, canceled. He does have a spreadsheet for you to send that.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Alrighty, so we are now, let me see. Okay, so we're down, significantly from last year, 35,000. So yeah, we appreciate that, Christine. And I'll let the members, it's up to them to decide what they want to do with this.
Yeah, we just cut out the copier, which cut that in half because we're still in the middle of a lease. So that's why it jumped up the price so much, because it prorates the lease. So we just cut out the color copier and just went back to my normal price of what I'm paying right now. So that was,
that's, we already took that cut. Yeah.
All righty. Thank you very much, Christine. I appreciate it. I know this is a lot of work to get this all rounded up. And when you're coming in newer, it's always kind of a little bit of a mystery.
It's okay. Thanks.
I appreciate it. All right. Did anybody, before I don't run away though, anybody from the board have any questions for Christine or Keith regarding this? Thank you, Keith, so much for helping her get this.
No problem.
I appreciate that. I'm supposed to leave this red if we've changed it, aren't I? I'm just not having a very good day here. All right. Red. That's red. That would be red. 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 All right. Nobody on the board has any questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we have Ed around here. Mr. Armenio, are you around? I saw him earlier. You know, this is when I need to do that thing, Mark, where I can look. Let's see. What do I do? So I make this smaller.
Wow. Ed, can you? Ed, are you there? Ed Armino.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
There you are. It's your turn. Okay. So let me go find the highway thing first.
4100, Judy.
Say again.
4100.
4100. Think. All right. So for the highway department, I don't even know if we had any questions. I don't think we did. We had no highway department questions. Bam. Okay, must be down in sanitation then.
Right after 4300.
You don't see any sanitation question. That's electricity. Okay. Here we are. Here's the good stuff. So we were curious about how the thing is going with the refuse collection. I know that there's a new bid coming in, a new bid process going on, the same with the landfill, with the recycling, apologize. And then we were just going to ask you about the landfill cap and the home hazardous waste. It didn't seem like a lot of that budget got used. So those are our four questions, Ed.
Okay, the contract bids were open. To my understanding, bids came in lower than what we were paying this year. That's the city carding bid. I do not know that they have been sent to the alderman yet for approval.
This Thursday,
the cost will still be pending the approval of the alderman.
So that could be decided then Thursday, Keith?
It's supposed to be on the agenda to be awarded, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Ed, can you, is it possible to let us know what that, how, what the lowest that might be, or is that not kosher?
We'll wait till it's awarded, ma'am, and then we'll get, fill it in Thursday night.
Oh, I know, I was going to fill it in. I was just wondering what it was. Okay, never mind. How about on the recycling, same deal?
Same thing. Yes. It's the contract is inclusive, trash recycling and the landfill.
Okay, so we break it out here to see what's what, but okay. How about down on the land, on the cap maintenance? You didn't, you left 65% or as of March 1st, and then anything on that? Is it going lower?
It's a year-to-year process down there. Sometimes things happen down there that need to be repaired. We are inspected yearly by DEEP. Should they find something, it would have to be repaired as far as coverage on the previous landfill cap. I can't speak to what we didn't do. If we didn't have to spend the money, we didn't spend it, but it's always possible.
So 3,000 seems like a safe number then?
I think it is, yes.
Okay. So this is a variable expense. Okay. And then how about the home hazardous waste collection?
The home hazardous waste, I submitted $6,500. That's a $2,000 reduction from last year.
Okay. And that account, what account? Yeah, that you didn't use quite as much. Okay, I think we're good. Anybody from the board have any questions for Ed? A very quiet board tonight. That's okay. That means they're a happy board, I guess. A quiet board's a happy board.
Mm. We are, as long as we're saving money.
Yeah, everybody's been very good. Okay, thank you very much, Ed, for dropping by, okay?
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. So let's go back and look at our – at what point did you want to jump in, Keith? What's your
I was just going to – kind of set the stage, but now it's fine. We went in, we did some changes to the senior center. You walked through these remaining department heads. Mm-hmm. We're still awaiting a figure from the Board of Ed. That's the elephant in the room, are these big line items with large expenses, but we're waiting a figure from the Board of Ed on their conclusion of their settlements or negotiations with transportation and special ed.
Yep.
And that would impact the final bottom line for the Board of Ed, and also the reserve fund that we have for special ed. I mean, it's clear when I keep looking through this, you kind of say, wow, how are we getting here? And unfortunately, we've got some strong headwinds that we're sailing into right now with the fund balance replenishment. The debt is flat. There's a slight increase in medical. There's $1 million increase proposed in Board of Ed. So when you look at the TD bank lease, you look at the Board of Ed, you look at the fund balance replenishment, you're just over $2 million on those alone. So, you know, as you go through this, I'm thinking of the big line items and what gets us up to a +3 million rate so quickly. And we're starting really at a $2 million increase before we really start anything. So we do have some work to do, no doubt about it. Some of the assumptions that we're making, we know we're going to have some modifications, or we're going to propose a modification to some of the labor once we're able to, get our hands around the doing business a new way. May not be a lot of dollars, but it's going to be some dollars. A lot of the burn rate on these line items are skewed. One of the questions came up of, hey, with gasoline, we're not using as much as we thought. And there's a couple of things to that. One is, we definitely did not have a winter that we normally have. And if you remember last year, all the storms were in the weekends. So that skewed some of our numbers, but also Corona. And I can't stand people blaming Corona, but from an operational standpoint, we are not fully operational. So programs weren't run, Little League's not running programs. electricity utilities are down. Payton's Fieldhouse expenses are really just a guesstimate going into next year because we don't have an annual experience for us to even point that with any degree of accuracy. So there are some things here that are hedging, hedging the unknown. But I do say that going into this, you've got $500,000 on the TD Bank lease that wasn't budgeted this year. You've got $80,000 for the new turnout gear. You have the $1 million proposed for the Board of Ed. You have the fund balance replenishment for
$1.5 million.
So that quickly gets us over 2 mils. So I just want to
gets us to 4 mils. Yeah, it's way over 2 mils.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I did want to say that number. I've never said that number before in my life. I feel funny saying 4 mils, but that's where we're at.
Well, more than 2 mils is to say is synonymous. So we'll go with more than 2 mils. Yes.
So I wish I had a Board of Ed number. I know Dot's working it and they're working hard, but that's going to be the big one where some of that goes into the.
So what's our timeline look like? Okay, so one, the more we wait, we might have better news, right, on some of these things. But how long can we wait? What is our, when are we up against the wall here time-wise?
Maybe use an estimate today. I mean, we really should adopt a draft. I was hoping Thursday, public hearing next Tuesday, final adoption the following Thursday.
Yep.
But I don't know if that's feasible if we don't make some strides tonight, you know? We don't want to get past the 19th because we need a week to get bills generated in and out. Now, granted, the escrow accounts, they're going to pay in July anyway, and a lot of, if you own a home outright, you have to October 1. Mm-hmm. But we still want to get the bills out. We need a good 7 days for that. So, I mean, adoption, the latest could be like the 22nd. But we're trying for the 18th.
Right. But since we can't get, we have most of our numbers seem like they're fairly firm. Okay. And then we have some, like you've just mentioned, that we're not sure, including the bid process, the.
Well, that's only going to go down a little bit if it's awarded as proposed. So if leaving that flat doesn't hurt us.
Okay, that's not huge. Okay. But anything else, like we don't know when the Board of Ed will have numbers for the negotiations from the bus and the transportation and et cetera. Not knowing that I'm saying all we could do if we're going to guesstimate it is we just need the best guesstimate that can be provided us.
Or you put a guesstimate in and we go from there.
So which ones are we willing to guesstimate tonight? I mean, which of all these, because we've kind of, I think we've gone through and questioned everything. Ed, did you leave, by the way? I was supposed to ask him about gas. I forgot when you mentioned the fuel.
Yeah, here's what we did with gas. We left gas flat.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I had forgotten. I think it was Sam was interested in citywide fuel. He seemed to think it should have been lower with the lower gas rates. Could just wanted to ask you about that.
The $150,000 budget request is flat from last year. We did have a very mild winter. We didn't use a lot of diesel. We still haven't come to a price agreement on gas or fuel for this coming year with the consortium. I left it at 150.
When do we set the next price, and when, or less?
We're in a consortium and they're watching the spot market right now. So it could be any day, Judy. It's going to be when the consensus agrees, they're starting to see an uptick and then everyone will lock in.
Okay.
So it could be any day.
So we're at 150 because that is the standard, let's call it, and it could go lower, but we don't know.
I think that was Sam's point, was that we're about to lock into a new rate and gas prices are somewhat historically low. And I think that was his point, is there potential savings there with the consortium locking into a lower rate?
Yeah, but again, it's a timing. It always comes back to the timing. I mean, all these things could happen, but we can't wait to see.
The other thing, Ray, is on a per gallon price, maybe. But remember, when we use the average number of gallons used on an annualized basis, this past year is almost one of the all-time lows in the last five. So if we discount that, we're going to be fairly close, even if we go in, remember, if we go in at a rate, but the number of gallons used is less than historic, we should annualize that to make it more of an average historic. So we can do that, but if you look at the fuel, you know, we're 85% spent, and we didn't have a bad winter, you know? So we have to look at both the number of gallons and the price per gallon. So we will do that.
I hear you.
Any of these other items that you have, anything you found out, Keith? We've got the Civil War Memorial. You were going to find out if, in fact...
Yeah, that was a pass-through. That was, if you remember, we got money from the state. We got I'm sorry, did you guys touch something on my screen? I apologize. We got money from the state. That was a pass-through. We do think there's going to be some maintenance, but we could cut this down. Let's just give us $1,000 or so in case there's some maintenance that has to happen over there.
$1,000 works? Okay.
Yeah. That 8406 was the amount that was last year, and we just carried
right. Okay. And then how about the Derby Early Childhood? They hadn't, we hadn't heard from them?
No, we have not. I did make a call to them, and I think they tried to get back to me today, so give me till Thursday on that one.
Okay, do we have any other? See.
I just texted Dr. Conway to see if he can give us a number.
I think he's on. I had talked to him earlier today. They didn't have a number yet. Come on, Jenny. Get up there. What am I doing?
Judy.
Hello.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm on.
Okay. Is Keith talking to you?
Actually text yourself and Keith to let you guys know that I'm on.
Okay. So for the board. Oh, we had Keith. If you look down at the City Hall maintenance, we wanted to make sure that $50,000 for coronavirus expenses that we think could be coming is also on the revenue side. Did we have somewhere to put that?
We have to add that. I have a list of items we have to add, and that one is we have to add to the revenue side. We were going to do 75, but the understanding now is it's going to be a 75-25 split, so we will get 100 back, but from two different agencies. So we'll just put that 50 on the revenue side, ma'am.
Okay, so we're going to have 50 on both sides?
Yes.
Okay. But we got to put that in still, right?
Yes, ma'am. You could add it on your sheet, and then I'll add it on the...
Where does it go?
Add it to the 6,000. You can put it in miscellaneous revenue for now. Just put in there, add 50 grand, and we'll put it in there.
But we had a thing for it. Let me see.
Yeah. Right there, 610, 6,000. No, we didn't.
6,000, okay.
Go up where your mouse is, right there.
Yep. So we're putting an extra how much, 50?
50, ma'am.
Okay, it's the miscellaneous ref. Look. Okay. So what else we got? We've got, and I want to go through these things, just get everything kind of pinned down, and then we're going to save the Board of Ed, and then we're going to talk Board of Ed, okay? And I don't want in the discussion for Board of Ed say, yeah, but what if? I want to get all the what ifs done, and then we'll say, here's where we are. What are we going to do with the Board of Ed? Does that make sense, guys, on the board?
Yes.
Everybody okay with that? All right.
Yes.
Cultural events. Did you have a chance to look at that, Keith? You said
yeah, we're gonna combine those two. Okay. I do have to still meet with the culture event leadership in fairness. I don't want them hearing it from the street.
Right.
But that separate account, we're gonna push into the general fund then we can just roll it over each year. So you have, there's an account that's not in here that we have to add in here. So if you leave the culture of vets at 10, when we close that other account, move it over, we'll just increase the revenue for this 1 year, right? So adopt it with the 10, we'll transfer the checking account that's separate over, we'll modify the budget when we do that, and then they can carry it over in future years.
Okay, so we're gonna put the 390.024 at 10,000?
Yeah, it's at 10 now, right? Leave it there.
No, it's at 10.8.
All right, whatever one, 10.8.
Just leave it alone. Okay, so yeah. I'm gonna leave that alone, okay.
Then we're gonna, that revolving, we can take out.
I can do what?
Take the revolving out.
Okay, I can zero that?
You can zero that.
Okay.
With the understanding that when we close the bank account, we're gonna put it back into the cultural events.
Yep.
And then use that for their revolving if they have to pay vendors ahead or whatever that is. We're going to keep it in one account on the revenue side, and we'll go from there. Because there's really three. There's the revolving, there's the events, and then there's that separate checking account. We've got to consolidate them.
So... Then we already talked about the early childhood. Okay, screw with the, I'm gonna leave the coloring alone. I'm not getting more stupid here. Okay, we've got, and that's just, okay. That is really nothing. Anything we need to go over and fix on the revenue right now? Anything you wanna add in or change?
Not right now, ma'am.
Okay. So right here, so there's, is there anything else that we want to take an educated guess on? I'm on a conference call. So is there anything else? So like I said, and if we can't wait, then we'd have to take our educated guesses.
I think the rest of the revenue is solid right now, as of right now, revenue.
Okay. So there are some things that could change then by the time we meet Thursday?
Very few, Judy. Very few.
Okay. So we're kind of where we're at then. Where we are is where we are, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And I think like these things, the refuse, and the that whole thing with the city carding or whoever we award it to, that they're only going to talk about Thursday.
They're going to vote.
They could be meeting at the same time as us, or how's that going to work?
They're going to vote, Judy. They're going to vote on Thursday.
Okay, but what time do they meet?
Mark, it's 7, right?
Yes.
Okay. All righty. So, given all that, where we stand now, before we go to the schools. Okay, and a little bit. Not much. Gained a little there. Thanks to the Senior Center. Yep. 35.7. Okay. So as of right now, with our revenue, our grand list, ma'am, and are assuming a 99% recovery rate, which might be too bold, in order to cover the budget as it looks, which is $48,979,000, we will have to go up 3.83 mils. So the only one we have left to talk about, nobody likes talking about it because it's so difficult, is the Board of Ed. Okay. So I'm hoping that each of the tax board members, I don't want anybody to stick their neck out. I just need to get a feeling for what are we looking at here. Dr. Conway, you still are here, right?
I sure am.
So let me make sure I understand this possible refund correctly. You guys are going to get more than likely, a refund. It could be big from the transportation people. And that money, we say we would let it go down into your special ed rollover account, whatever we call that. And then how would it affect your ask? Would it affect your ask?
It would reduce our ask by that same amount.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Okay. When will we know? We don't know when we'll know.
I have a pretty close ballpark figure that I can share with you tonight.
Okay.
Just to give you an idea. Once things are all finalized and signed by the vendors and so forth. And we received additional guidance on Monday. I think I shared with you earlier that I don't believe is going to amount to anything, but it was guidance coming out of several municipal organizations and state organizations supporting this plan to fully fund our special ed providers and special ed transportation providers. But we do not support that as a CAPS organization at this time. So I'm not, and we are 99% completed with our negotiation. So I have a pretty good ballpark figure here to share that would reduce our overall request by that same amount. And you could take it off your need for increase in the mill rate as high as it is as well. I think it will help your expected mill rate increase considerably.
That must be pretty big then.
It is a sizable. Mark Izzo, who couldn't be with us tonight, is in another meeting for his church. Has done just an incredible job at negotiating with our vendors. And I can't say enough, but he's great for the city.
So how do you feel comfortable proceeding? How do you want to? Unfortunately, we're not in the same room, so you can't write it on a piece of paper for me. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that, Madam Chair? I lost you.
Oh, how would you feel comfortable? How do you want to proceed so we can have that number also as information while we're looking at the Board of Ed? Because it makes a big difference.
It does. The number that we're looking at is about 380.
About 380, okay. Would you say that's like, we get at least that? If it were more, that's even better, but we probably would get at least that, you think?
Correct.
Okay. Would you, because of that, feel comfortable with me reducing your request at this time by that, just to see what that does?
Yep, sure.
I'm gonna put your 12,850,627 over here. Remember. And here it's gonna be, oops, like a type. 50,627. You said 380?
That is correct.
Okay. So that would put you guys up 719 over last year. What does that do to our mill rate? $48,979. Let me make sure everything's working correctly here. Not so sure. Oh, I changed it in the wrong place because I'm an idiot. Excuse me. That's good, as that didn't work. 76.27. Looking at the wrong line. Okay. And then I can just put this back. 12,850,627. Okay. There we've got that. Let's see if that looks a little better. That looks a lot better. Okay, so. All right. That would bring us down, everything else all squared away. That would bring us down to a 3.25, let's say. Make a 3.25, I want a 0.03. 11, 12, bam, okay. Okay, so, what does the board want to do? So we have gone through, let's recap a little bit. We have gone through all the budget. Keith has done his due diligence and gone through everything. I've done my due diligence and gone through everything compared to last year, et cetera, et cetera. We've asked a bunch of questions. Everyone has come forward.
Judy?
Yes.
Can you just go to 8,200? There's still two cultural events. We have to take that revolving one out. So that's a $12,000 swing. 8,200, just scroll up a little bit. You see the revolving account 390.394. All right, or you already zeroed it. Never mind. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. So we did a 2.5 last year. This would make a 575 over 2 years. I believe we had 2 years with no increase at all. So over 4 years, it's not enormous considering what we're dealing with and the situation. It's not gonna make happy campers of the taxpayers, of course. We have to run the city. So we got 5.75. So it's about 1.4 per year mill rate increase over the last 4 years. What part, Dr. Conway? If we look at your, and I probably should know this, I apologize that I don't, but if we look at your Board of Ed, if we look at this, now we have the 12,477. What part of your increase, this would serve better as an increase, this would be equal your 12,47 minus your 15. Is that correct? You're at 12,470,627, and yeah, I'm doing the spent. I'm gonna take out the 11,759,17. Okay, so your increase after we modify for the refund, you have an increase of 719,710. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. What portion of that are salary increases?
640
of that. Okay. Does that include the new person at the central office, the new helper person?
Does that include? Yeah, it must, because it's total salaries.
Okay. If that weren't in there.
That's 30. That's in.
It's 30?
Okay. Yep.
720. Okay. So say the number again. So for salaries, how much of that is the 719 is how much? 6? So the 719, 710 increase, How much did you say was salary increases?
For that, for the executive assistant, part-time executive assistant, 30.
30. And how much of the rest of this is for salary?
Coaches as well, Madam Chair.
Okay, and how much is that?
9,000.
Altogether?
Correct.
Okay. So the one number I didn't write down, I apologize for that. Of the 719, 710, how much was the whole, counting the coaches and the assistant and everything, how much part was staff? Staff increase.
I'm sorry, could you repeat, Madam Chair?
Yeah, you gave me a number right up front of the 719, 710 increase. Huh?
640, and that is inclusive of the new positions, the two coaches and the executive, part-time executive assistant.
Okay, so if I took the 640, take away the 39, so I've got $601,000 of this is for
salary increases.
Salary increases. Okay.
Contractual salary increases. Yes.
Okay. Which leaves 719, 710, 781. Okay. So 118,000. Now, I'm having the hardest time wrapping my head around the special ed. So if you go, if we take out the 300 and what is it, $80,000, wherever that went, if you take out the $380,000 for the special ed, that goes into your account that is for special ed for when new people come in, et cetera, beyond budget, right?
Correct.
So there is nothing in your increase really that that money is going to serve you for. Is that a true statement?
There is nothing in the increase that that money will not serve you for. You mean it's all
yeah, that special ed, none of this increase is really involved special ed, right? It's just teachers and staff across the board.
That is correct.
Okay.
You can think of it as it's money we've already contracted for.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So, okay. That's all the questions I have. I'm hoping the other tax board members will have something to ask or comment or where are we?
Yes. Yes, Jude, I do have a question. Okay. Dr. Conway, from what I understand, the preschool development grant is no longer coming in. Is that a true statement or?
It's reduced. That's a great question. It's been reduced over the past 2 years. We still receive a small amount, but it is reduced. So they reduced it across the board, and team reached out with their portion, and that's what we have been utilizing to continue.
How much does the preschool cost the budget or is zero. Is I'm sorry?
Zero.
It's zero?
It's all grant funds.
So between what other grants do you get besides the preschool development grant for that end team?
Smart Start, Alliance, School Improvement. Those are all other grants that have supported the pre-K program. That was my commitment up front when we started this, that would continue to be supported by only grant funds.
Thank you.
Sure.
Anyone else on the board? This is your opportunity.
Hi, Madam Chair, this is Mike Gray.
Okay, Mike.
At our last meeting, Mr. Palastro had, you know, asked for the viewpoints of a couple of the other members, myself being included in that. So I just wanted to take a minute to kind of give my viewpoint as someone who works in the field of education and deals with the educational budget quite a bit. And going through the budget that's been presented by the Derby Public Schools and, you know, being new to the board, I haven't been through the process before. I started to get involved a little bit last spring upon hearing that they were, you know, up against another 0% increase. And as I'm looking through their budget again this year, we have to remember that education, no matter what town you're in, it's a human capital driven business, basically. And here in the city of Derby, I would argue that behind Griffin Hospital, the Board of Education is probably the largest FTE employer in town. So when you're looking at the increases, we have to keep in mind that those are contractual obligations. And what ends up happening is when you're encountering 2 years in a row of 0% increase, I think they've done a good job of trying to hold on to the programs that they have and the opportunities for children without letting go staff. This past year, of course, having to do a furlough, I worry if we go further into cuts with the salaries that it's going to start to impact the children negatively. It already does. If you actually look at their budget and you go to the object summary that they have at the end of their budget, and you're looking at the instructional general supplies, the interscholastic athletics, the textbooks, library AV books and supplies, these are all directly impacting children. These are all at 0%. They're not even able to increase anything for opportunities for children because they're trying to play catch up with these salary increases. And again, these are contractual. And when you look at special ed, you know, again, being a building administrator and having to deal with this firsthand, and you're kind of dealt the cards you get. The children that come to you, their needs are various, and you're responsible for meeting those needs. And whether or not your school district can meet those needs, or you need to outplace them at another school, which can be quite costly, because as you know, the formula is based on 4.5 times the cost of what the per pupil expenditure is in a district. So you're only reaping the benefits of 75% of that when you get your excess cost. So you're already playing a catch-up game there. So I think you said it very well, Judy, right before you started this, that this the Board of Ed budget is always the toughest when you're dealing with the operating budget for the city. I think what we need to also keep in mind is it almost looks like they have money to burn. When you look at their excess cost line item and you look at their state money for BOE operating budget at $6.8 million, that's like your paycheck. And I don't know about you, but my paycheck, when I get it, it's already accounted for. You know, I have my mortgage, I have my car payment, I have my insurances. This is similar. This is money that they can't touch. They can't use it to pay those salaries. So I think we need to be very careful when we look at reducing even more in this budget, because that's when it's really going to start to impact children. And as an educator and a principal in a building, my bottom line is it's about the kids. You know, I don't want this to come off the wrong way. I mean, I don't want people being cut. I don't want jobs being cut. I understand sometimes those are tough decisions that need to be made. But when you start to do that, you're impacting the opportunities for children's education in this town. And having two in the elementary level and you know, one in the middle school and obviously moving up through the grades, I hope to provide or have the Derby schools provide the opportunities that are going to set my children up for success in the future. And hopefully they'll choose to stay here in Derby in the future and raise their families. What I see from my viewpoint anyway, as a parent, is that there's been a lot of flight. You know, the district is very transient. Kids are in and out. I mean, my children come home almost on a weekly basis. We got a new student in school. Oh, another student left. And this, it's very transient. So it's hard to pin down, of course. But I think if we start to really look toward cutting really deeply again, and not saying we go all the way down to a zero, but even if you go to, you know, 2.5% increase, you're not even covering those salaries, which, you know, again, it's going to directly impact those children. And I worry about that, because another big piece of a Board of Education is recruiting and retaining talented educators. That's really tough to do in a district if you're not keeping up with the increases in salary, because you're going to have staff who are going to say, you know what, I don't know from year to year if I'm going to get pink slipped. So, you know what, I have to look out for myself. I'm going to look somewhere else for another opportunity where it might be a little more stable. And I think we've been losing some teachers that way, but we do have some really dedicated staff who have been here for, you know, many years, and some newer teachers who are really sticking it out and love the children of Derby. But I think we need to be careful when we look at cutting, because being someone who has defended a Board of Education budget in my job, it always looks like there's a lot of money on the table, but you have to understand so much of that money is already spent before you even get it. So that's my two cents of what I'm thinking. Again, I realize our fiduciary responsibility to our citizens, and I realize that it's tough times. We have, you know, dealing with, and Keith said it many times, you know, the uncertainty of COVID, which is another big uncertainty for the Board of Ed. They have $0 allotted right now for COVID. Depending on what we come back to in the fall, there could be some pretty hefty expenses for that alone that they're not even putting into this budget. So I just worry about cutting back down to the bare bones again. That would be 3 years in a row. And, you know, I don't know how we would ever get back to where we would need to be as a Board of Education and really being marketable to families moving in who want to plant roots and can contribute to our grand list. I see more and more of the families are, you know, they're probably more renting condos, renting apartments rather than buying houses. I'd be curious. I don't know the number offhand, but I'd be curious of the inventory of homes right now that are out there for sale and have been on the market for a while, that we could be enticing young families with a strong education system here in Derby. But again, this is my two cents, and I hope we're very careful when we look at how we cut it, because it is a very large budget. It's usually in any municipality you go into, the Board of Ed budget is usually a very large portion of the town or city's operating budget. And it always does get contentious around budget time with that, because so many people look at the bottom line and see this huge number, but there's so much that goes into that and how it's divvied up and the fact that a lot of it is already spent. So my two cents, I appreciate you giving me the time.
Okay, thank you, Mike. We appreciate your viewpoint on that, especially with your experience. Anybody else wish to comment?
Yeah, Judy, it's Rob.
Okay, Rob, please.
Dr. Conway.
Yes, sir.
How confident are you with that 380 number, and do you think you could be, or give or take, how much either way?
A few thousand either way, Rob.
You're pretty confident with that number as it stands right now, though?
Yes.
Without getting all your final figure. Okay.
Yeah.
What is your expectation for September when the kids go back to school, or are they going back to school?
So that's a great question. Both of them great questions. So are they going back? We're still working that out with the governor's office and the State Department of Ed. Multiple plans for a return. Do I believe we will return in some capacity? Hybrid model, yes. Do I think we'll return as we started school last September? Absolutely not. So there's multiple plans being worked out. Each of those has a financial plan that then has to be worked out as well. An example of that, while we can look at each plan and do a human capital plan for it each time, you then have to do the same with your transportation services. So if I'm only bringing back so many grades in all four schools and across the district, and I have to keep everybody 6 feet apart, which for us, that means anywhere from 9 to 11 per classroom, but more than that in any one classroom, the average being 10. And I have to do the same on the bus. The regulations on the buses right now for a 55 passenger to 70 passenger bus, I'm looking at best 10 to 13 students per bus at most. So the cost of transportation significantly increases. The cost of educating children 1 to 10 as opposed to 1 to 25 significantly increases. They'll need to hire several to provide that same number of children with an education. Our estimate on staff resourcing alone for that we did this week based upon one plan that was shared from the state was in the approximately $2.1 million just for the additional staffing if I was to have to go to 1 to 10 per classroom across the district. So that's up and above your current staffing. So it's, but each day more information is shared. We don't know what the final plan will be. We are working with the State Department of Ed, encouraging that it's one plan for all districts, just as we have today. So we have one plan for all districts across the state in terms of normal education on a normal day, I should say. We're looking for the same thing during the pandemic so that everybody can budget for that. But we're also looking for the federal government and state to support it, not municipalities.
Okay. If you had to go to that 1 to 10, just for number right there for classroom, would it benefit you and help your budget if you did half day sessions, a morning group and an afternoon group?
Well, it will really come down to bodies over time that we need. So if currently staff are contracted for a certain number of hours, it would mean going back, opening those contracts or doing an MOU for either additional hours or hiring additional staff to cover the second shift. And that's a great question. So we do need, but while our current structure was based upon the manufacturing industry at one time and our mills and our farms, we need to also now look at a model similar to what they use now with multiple shifts. If we're going to be able to adequately provide education to the number of kids in our district with 1 to 10 per classroom. So, but that would all depend upon how we end up staffing those services once we have, plans to look at. Great question, though.
You expect the fall sports to be going back to their full schedule, or?
No, we're actually the state just released guidance on that last Friday that we've shared out. We can begin in phase two with small groups on fields doing conditioning for all sports. So after phase two, after June 17th, throughout the summer, fall sports is still being discussed. And the guidance that we have now, and that we're directly talking with CIAC on, is you have more high risk, moderate risk, and low risk sports. So what that would look like for high risk sports in the fall is not as good as a low risk sport. So when you're looking at cross country versus football or soccer, football and soccer both fall into the category of high risk. So it's questionable now whether those will begin as they normally would, whether it would be a reduced game schedule, whether it would be a reduced travel, because you would still have social distancing on your buses, just like you do for your students. So all of those are currently being discussed with CIAC, and we hope to have a more, a solid plan before the fall. But coaches can begin that conditioning in phase two, small groups, practicing social distancing, all PPE as appropriate, as well as our contact tracing, taking temperatures, filling out health questionnaires daily for all athletes, all coaches, all participants.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Okay, thank you, Rob. Did anybody else want to chime in.
I just have a few questions, if you don't mind.
Who is this?
Carlo.
Oh, Carlo. Okay. Go ahead. Break it up, Carlo.
Dr. Conway, do you...
Carlo, you're gone.
No.
No, I guess Carlo needs to work on his microphone there. In the meantime, anybody else?
If Carlo wants to text me his question, I can share it with everybody.
Is that fair? Carlo, well, you read it out loud, I guess. Is that kosher, Mark?
I will then read it out loud.
Madam Chair, may perhaps, or Carlo, if you could hear me, probably better to dial in with your phone and keep your video on and close the audio for the computer and or mute it and just dial in. It'll be you'll get a better signal.
You want to try that first, Carlo?
Okay.
Anything?
What's happening, Pop?
If you have a question from Carlo, Dr. Conway, and you can read it out loud, I think that would be okay. You're sharing it with everybody.
I have not received anything, but he may not have my, I was going to give him my cell phone here.
I would expect a young person like Carlo to be more technologically advanced, I have to say. All due respect. Just joking.
Well, we're waiting for Carlo. Just a reminder so that we don't lose forget about it. But as I shared at our last meeting, if we had passed this budget during normal times, it would have passed that. Since that time, we have received four individuals in the district that are outplaced or require outplaced services from the district that they came from through their current IEP at a total of $290,000. So the budget that I am presenting tonight, as I did during our actual budget presentation, is not inclusive of the $290,000 that we currently have to incur as a result of four new students coming into district with current IEPs with outplaced services. So just resharing that information.
Would that be one of the things that you could take out of your special ed account?
No, because what we're putting into that non-lapsing fund is to support this budget, which does not even include that 290. So either way we look at it, I'm 290 in the hole, even if I was fully funded.
That's great. Kind of makes the whole thing a little bit moot there. I would say I'll fill in the gap here while we're getting Carlos squared away. If our increase, and I'm assuming this is as per union contract, gives the staff an increase of $600,000. So I'm not going to count the assistant or the coaches because those are new hires. And I believe they get an increase every 2 years. Is that correct?
No, it's depends upon the contract.
Okay. In the past, though, it's been like every other year that there's an increase?
No, it's usually each year. But again, depending upon the contract. So we have had years with zero steps, half steps, but, as opposed to full steps, but that depends upon the, you know, the year and the bargaining unit.
Okay. So I think it would be an interesting mathematical thing to figure out if given Derby's revenue, if we're going to increase, if the Board of Ed, as Mike and others have pointed out, needs the staffing, good staffing to have a good school system, I'm pretty sure from my studies of calculus, but it has been quite a few years, that at one point Derby is going to run out of money. Literally is going to, I guess, I don't know what would happen, Keith, if we literally reach the point where, because I know as the taxes go up and up, granted, probably people aren't going to leave much because, as I was pointing out to somebody today, all the Trump haters haven't gone to Canada, so people tend to say that more than do it, but it will be harder for people on fixed income. The Derby's 99% recovery rate, which is outstanding, it's bound to fall. So that's all that concerns me. The school system doesn't concern me. It's a great school system, I think. We have a very good school system here. But I literally worry about the town. I think I'd like to make a model like that to see how long is it sustainable. And now if you throw in some COVID and this and that and other things, I'm not sure legally what happens. I mean, does the town go bankrupt or what? How would that look?
If we don't collect, in what case? If we tax and don't collect, or if we give the
schools an average of, let's say, $500,000 a year in pay increases, because like someone pointed out, it's a huge staff, not comparable to Griffin, but probably second to Griffin. So if we want to keep them in good stead, and we have all of the special ed, we're looking, if we do what people call the right thing for the kids, we would be increasing at least, I would say, $500,000 a year, at least. Given our revenue ratios, given that we are kind of tied by Route 34 for a lot of development, doesn't there come a point when we literally can't give the school the money, where we can't pay our bills?
Let me frame it a little different, because
okay.
I don't want the quid pro quo that if we can't raise enough revenue because of the Board of Ed and we go bankrupt because of the Board of Ed. I think that's unfair.
No, and I shouldn't have phrased it that way. Because of our expenses.
I don't want someone to say the Board of Ed's bankrupting the city.
I didn't mean that. I apologize. Okay. It is our largest expense. So
if we as a city have expenses that are outpacing our revenue.
Yes.
Right. The first step is the onus is on the city to cut expenses. That's the onus and responsibility, fiduciary responsibility of the city. If we don't, for example, restore fund balance and get on solid footings, there is a potential the state takes over. And it's not a threat. That's a potential. If towns default, there is no real bankruptcy for towns, even though it's been proposed. But if towns default and can't manage their own house, the state has taken over some towns. Now, when they went into Waterbury, it was simple. They didn't care that they went up X number of mills, 5, 7, 8 mills, because their responsibility was to balance the budget. So what they would do is come in and say, what do we have to do to balance the budget? And they would do it anyway, so the taxpayers would face whatever increase in the mill rate would be required to balance the budget. The dilemma we have as a city and an entity is we have sustained ourselves for at least my 20 years with jack shit developed downtown. Nothing. Yep. Nothing. And we have pulled every rabbit out of the hat, refinanced debt, slowed down spending, everyone's done. But without revenue on the commercial side, The shift, if I give you, I can give you the analysis over the last 5 years, that shift has gone to the homeowners more percentage points every year in the last five than in the previous 15 or 20. Now, that to me is a problem, but the bigger problem is, again, Corona, people in commercial spaces, A, either can't sustain themselves, so they're going bankrupt. They're saying one third of all restaurants will not reopen. But also office space now, which used to be the, you know, the philosophical discussion about downtown was, do we put housing stock or do we put office space or do we do a mixed use? Well, small businesses who use office space are realizing, because they've all been working from home for 8-9 weeks and some are still sustaining themselves, they don't need office space. So the vision of us developing downtown with office space is quickly fading as society and business models change where they don't want commercial space. So once again, I think we're missing a cycle. We missed it in 08 and we missed it, you know, back in 01. So to me, that commercial revenue, which is essential for us to sustain any kind of escalation in anyone's budget, is not going to be there. So that leaves us to the one hard thing that everyone hates to do, and that's we've got to start cutting and rethinking how we deliver services. Because even if it buys us 2 or 3 years of a modest increase in the mill rate until something commercially happens, without that, we're going to have 3-4 mil increases, and it's unsustainable. Because the break point is, you know, we went up 2 mils, we still collected 99%. But that was last year when everything was good and people were seeing, you know, 401ks had double-digit increases. You take July or next January, coming out of 2020, where unemployment's in the 13, 14, 15% range, I don't know where we're going to be in the second half of 2021, Judy, to be honest with you. So my short answer is this. If we don't do our fiduciary responsibility and balance the budget, yes, there is a possibility an outside agency takes over, but all they're going to do is raise the mill rate instantly to sustain expenses. So it's best that we control our own destiny. And, you know, like I said, we're sailing into some tough headwinds, but we've got to do the yeoman's work right now.
But that's what concerns me, Keith. I absolutely agree with you.
We have not cut. In all fairness to everybody, including myself, yeah, in the last 4 or 5 years, we have not cut. We can fool ourselves and say we did. We have not done substantial cuts, and we have not refunded government, me included, to the point that we could say, look, we can do this differently and we can reduce headcount. Because as Mr. Gray said, government is a people service business and it's a manpower business. Board of Ed, City Hall, it's all manpower. So if we're not going to get new revenue, we've got to look at manpower and how do we do it more efficiently. And we're going to deliver a plan to you in July that's going to give you some new ways that we think we can do business in City Hall, reducing manpower, just to call it what it is. But on a macro level, we have not cut. We have not rethought government. And right now, we're in the corner. And we're a wounded animal. So either we quiver or we come out and we claw our way out of this.
The problem is, as we look through, I mean, being on the tax board for many years, is in the tax board, most of the people have been around a ways. We go through, and anything that you would look at cutting, I mean, it's just everyone is outraged. And Board of Ed, we probably cut it more than we do others because it's such a large target, you know, and it just.
Well,
that doesn't make it right, but, you know, we get the biggest bang there. And because we're kind of backed in the corner, what really upsets me is I think many people think that we're saying, well, the Board of Ed doesn't deserve that. They're not doing a good job. And that is just not true. They're doing a wonderful job. But we're just in the corner, like you're saying. And we're trying to think what's going to come along 5 years from now. It's very scary for me.
It is. You know, we get through last year, we get through this year. I don't think you're going to see economic growth in commercial base until 34 is done. Maybe that needs to be our mission, is to get 34 finally going, because then we can open up the floodgates and start the south side of Main Street.
Yeah, but then, like you said, there may not be any commercial to come. They're already talking on Wall Street about people are not looking for office space anywhere.
No, but, you know, you look across at Shelton, I know it's a Fairfield address, and God forbid you come over the river and be in the New Haven County address, but you look at all those apartments they put in, They're building new ones, and they're all filled. Mm-hmm. So they've got some recipe over there that, you know, maybe we don't need to create the wheel, but, you know, let's benchmark ourselves and take some strategies used, right, you know, 100 yards across the river. Maybe that's our help to our solution. But yeah, the homeowners and the back of the homeowners, and what's going to happen, some of these apartments, if people don't want to live here because of poor education, whatever, they're going to rent it out. And when you get rentals, you get transients. When you get transients, stocks numbers go up in the wrong areas. Then you lead to quality of life issues. You know, some renters don't give a shit, and they'll put their couch on the driveway or the sidewalk. Next thing you know, the guy who lives there, who's been living there for 20 years, paying his taxes, following the laws, he bails because his garbage all around. The trickle-down effect, I don't think we think about it. We discuss enough. I mean, I hate to rant, but that, you know, the law-abiding people, you know, we have a house here. It's an illegal two-family, and it's pissing every neighbor off, every good law-abiding neighbor. So what do? In a while, they just say, I'm out of here. And we lose good people because we don't follow quality of life laws. I'm sorry, I got to stop talking. I'm just pontificating.
Sure. Thank you, Keith. Who else has, did Doc Carlo ever get squared away?
Doc has his hand up.
You do? I don't see that. Yes, Doc.
Can you hear me now, Judy?
Yeah.
Just two quick questions for Dr. Conway.
Okay.
The first one is, if we have to go back to school, or when you go back to school and you do all the modifications to make it compliant, is the city going to be upfront going to have to pay that out, or is that going to come upfront from the state? Where we don't know that.
We don't, unfortunately, we don't know that yet. Our position is that would come from the federal government to the state, to the districts, and not through municipalities. There's just no way for municipalities to fund that. I think I shared the state figure that we were given based upon just human capital, not transportation, was $283 million. And again, for our own district, $2 million. But we don't have any idea where that money is coming from at this point.
Do you see a situation where the cost is too exorbitant, where you just will forego that and continue remote learning? Is that a possibility as well?
That is a possibility, yes.
And how would that affect everything with your budget that way?
We'd have to see what happens. There would be, I don't see it not opening in any way. I see it opening in a hybrid model of some kids on some days, other kids on other days, practicing the social distancing. I don't see, because of costs, just continuing social distancing for everyone. Because even with our same costs, you could still provide in person for some, just not all. Whether that's equitable or that's fair, those are the conversations happening right now. One way or another, we'll be, conducting in-person learning and instruction in the fall. We just don't know what it'll look like right now or what the cost will be.
Now, if for the staffing purposes, if you were to have to hire more staffing, is that included in the number that you just gave from the state?
Yes, that's the that's in the 283. CAPS did a analysis for this statewide. Our 2 million is just for Derby.
And last question: if you had to hire new people because of this, would that be covered underneath the state, or we would have to do that as a city?
Our position is it should be covered by the state or the federal government.
But no decision has been made as of now. Correct. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you, Carlo. Anyone else have?
If I could share one more, just
of course. Yeah, please.
Right now with our current funding and the latest numbers from State Department of Ed regarding towns and ECS funding, from the local portion and state portion per pupil. We are 149 out of 148 towns right now in terms of spending per pupil with ECS funding. So we're at the, there's only 9 districts that are spending less than us. All the others are spending, the other 148 are spending more money per pupil than Derby. So I just, sharing that information, you're already at a point where you are have with 0% increases over the last 2 years and small increases in the years before that, we're already at a point where we're almost the lowest per pupil expenditure for with regards to ECS funding in the state. And I just, is that where we want to be? Is that the goal to, and is it equitable for our kids? But I think we've done a great job with the little amount of funding, one of the lowest in the state in terms of ECS dollars per pupil, but I think we also can do better. And I know it's hard.
Doctor, Brian Capullo here. I have a quick question for you. I don't know if this is within our purview of the tax board, but when it comes to transiency.
Hold on, who's talking? Talking.
Mr. Capullo was.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you said Frank, and I was like, what? Go ahead.
No, not today. quick question regarding, I heard a factor, and I was hoping you can light me on it. What is the percentage of grade increase for a student that's been within the school system for 3 years? Their scores improve dramatically, correct?
You're 100% correct. It's the single greatest factor for increased assessment scores is length of time in district.
Okay, so I think just to paint it with a broader picture here, it seems like the education is not the issue, of course, but it is going back to the transiency.
That is correct.
Okay,
so go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, so just going back to our previous conversation with Keith and whatnot, I totally concur with the trickle down theory and getting, you know, more substantial people here that can spend time here and is not as transient.
So that's
I think instead of being on the constant
that
defense,
we should all buy into. Yes.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why we began the advanced manufacturing program was just for that. It's an economic plan if we all support it.
So, right. Dr. Conway, quick question for you. Since we are in the lower, way lower, the top, I guess the bottom 10 in the state as far as the expense per pupil, correct?
For ECS funding, yes.
Where do we stand in the state as far as our test scores? Are we in the bottom also?
No, we're not in the bottom for that. And depending upon grade level and assessment, we actually do quite well considering. We are not near the bottom on that.
Okay, that's interesting, I find. Okay, thank you.
You have a lot of dedicated teachers across the district that just they could be elsewhere making more money, and they're staying with them.
Yep, that's what makes the system. I agree. Anybody else?
Yeah, Dr. Conway, it's Ray Bowers.
Yes.
Quick question on what is the status of the regional school study? I know they have a meeting coming up in later this month, but I know we got recommendations back from the consultants, and then I'm not sure where we're at this point.
Sure, great question, Ray. Though the consultants are still, they're coming back again now for additional to put together additional information for a report that was part of the original contract for the regional study committee. This one having to do with really what would the curriculum look like under different models should you choose to move forward with a regional plan. So what would the cost of that be in terms of the delivery of that curriculum, as well as in the program of studies really for each of our schools. And what does that look like? And what is the cost of delivery for a model like that is what the information they're still gathering, and then we'll bring back to the board.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, we need to plug in a number, guys, for tonight. Does anybody have any other information they need? The plan would be tonight, plug in a number that we think we can live with the Board of Ed. And then Thursday, we would go roughly based on what we set tonight for the prelim, although I'm sure there will be other little nips and tucks from Keith and crew in the meantime, although it doesn't sound like there's anything major. If we're to meet the schedule, that's what we need to do. We need to set a number tonight for the Board of Ed and proceed to prelim on Thursday. That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay, so who wants to set the number? We're going to draw straws. I would say, this is just my opinion, this is not the way to go, this is my opinion. I think we're headed for a disaster, because I don't think we can sustain, not just Derby, I don't think anybody's going to be able to sustain the amount of money we spend in education and other things as well. And so sooner or later, we'll be forced into reform, I think, because it's just going to happen. But I don't see that coming soon, and I don't think that's on our shoulders. Because we have kept them flat the last 2 years, my vote would be for tonight would be to set their budget at 12,351,917. That would be their original ask minus the 380,000 we're estimating might come back from the transportation, and it would be minus another 118,710. To remove all increases, including the coaches and the assistant, but leaving in place the $601,000 for the teacher salaries, because we haven't covered that for several years now. That would be my recommendation. 1 of 10. So, the floor is open for other recommendations. That's all I got.
Judy, well, what does that look like in aspect of mill rate increase? With the other, it looks like 2 mil increase.
That would look like 12,351,917. That would look like, where did our money go? All right, what have I done wrong? I put it in the right spot here. I asked for 12,850. We took out 380,40 about, it's 12,351. Did we lose something somewhere? Didn't go up on revenue. Okay, that would put us at 45. Yeah, that would put us at a mill rate increase of 3.13. If we could fill around with the working balance a little bit, I'd say hopefully we could find a little something here or there, Keith. We could maybe hold it to a 3.
Understand, ma'am. I'll look at it tomorrow.
That would be my recommendation, because what I'm seeing, and I say it every year and year and year, I'm very pro-education, but I'm pro-smart education. I'm pro an education that everyone can afford, and it gives our kids the best. It's the best education, even better than what they've got now. And I think they're getting a good one, especially here in Derby. But we're doing too much of the sneaking out in the barn and grabbing the golden eggs from under the chicken, and the chicken's getting stressed. So I would say maybe we need to get the town people's attention and say, you know, we gotta pay this, we gotta do this. Here's your increase. The good news is you went 2 years without an increase. I don't see too much way around it. So not try to hide this and beat the bushes, but say, okay, this is what we got. And let someone step forward and say, okay, how can we fix this later on? Be it from whatever community.
Judy?
Yeah.
It's Rob.
Yeah.
Go back to the appropriations screen for a second.
Yep.
The original ask was for 1250, and we were going to minus out about 380,000 that we were going to that the state was going to reimburse us for.
Yeah, and then I minused out another 118,710, which was other things other than teacher salaries raises.
Okay, so whatever number that we come up with now, you know, with the slight increase in there. How is that going to affect next year's budget? Because that's going to be the minimum that they can receive next year. So that 380 have to go back into what their budget is.
Yeah, once we set the 12,351,917, that becomes the new standard. And see, it's yet another problem. It's just the way education is set up, and I'm not talking about Derby. The way it's set up statewide or nationwide. It's not working financially. So I'm tired of fighting it, quite frankly.
I could,
that's something you could live with, Dr. Conway.
So if I'm hearing correctly, it's the 12,850, the original.
Yep.
It was to 12,351 because you took out but 380 of the 12,51.
Yep.
380 of the 12,850 is going into the non-lapsing.
Yep.
To then be brought back up. After you pass the budget, it's brought back up, right?
No, only if you need it.
If you need it, it's brought back up. The whole idea of that account was if more show up than you're expecting, more expenses and special ed than you're expecting, then you have... Instead of asking us for more, you have that account to go to. That's what I understood.
Right, and then so like for Rob's question, that 380 would not affect the MBR for next year because it's in the cap. It's in the special ed reserve.
Right, so that does us a little extra.
Good. Correct.
Yeah, but that's what this year's budget was based on. So, assuming we have a regular school year next year. And again, I'm not even thinking about the additional staffing or anything else. That 380 would have already been spent this year if we continued past March. So that's a necessity for next year's budget.
Why would it be spent this year if it was for a refund we're getting for services not provided? I don't understand.
Right, but that doesn't mean that you don't need that in your budget next year, because it was in my budget this year. The only reason why I have it left over is because we ended school as we know it on March 12th. So for 3 months, that's a savings that don't expect to have next year. So our budget was built on that 380 in it, because that's what we would normally spend in any other year. That's what we would have those expenses. Those are already incurred expenses if we go back to school next year and don't have 3 months off distance learning, where I don't have to pay buses, I don't have to pay contractors. That 380 is built into our budget. I didn't...
Then we can't really use it, is what you're saying.
Well, you can put it into the non-lapsing only to be then brought back up into my budget, because it's already accounted for in the budget. What you did pull out was the additional positions that we put in and some other things. But that 380 is built into the budget as we see it today as our expenses that we incurred otherwise this year, except we're able to not have to pay it out only because we ended contracts early. We don't I can't predict whether we're going to be
ending contracts. Dr. Conway, if we took your thing from last year, you're 11,750,917. Okay, right here. Okay? Which would have within it, I would hope, that money, because that budget is supposed to include transportation, et cetera, et cetera. Right?
Yep. Yes.
And if we add to that, so it's 11,750,917. We add your raises for this year, which is $601,000. That's what you said you have to have new, right?
Right.
That's 12,351. That's that money. It's this amount here, the 11,750 plus your raises. We're not taking out. I mean, right. We took two steps to get there. We could just say we're taking out everything more than your 601.
It doesn't account for all the other increases beyond just salaries. So the 600 number is strictly salaries, period. There's a number of other areas where services that we receive, those services went up.
Yep. No, I get that. I'm just saying, from my viewpoint, we wouldn't keep you flat this year. We would at least give you enough to handle your salary increases, but not everything you asked for, because we can't afford it. That's just my stance. That's not the board. That's me. Because I need to plug a number in there, and now people can.
I appreciate every penny, but yeah. I want to share the correct information so that.
Okay.
But we can't. Hang on, we can't play voodoo economics here and put it in the special ed reserve fund with the understanding that once we adopt it, we move it up. I mean, then just put it in that line, right? Doc, I think you're still protected because if it's a special ed expense, which that 300 roughly in your budget is, you could still use it. It just comes out of that reserve fund to be used for special ed.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
You still get to spend it, but
yeah, I 100% agree.
So I think the idea of moving it back up wouldn't be really the right thing. I think we leave it there. And if you know you have special ed costs, they just come out of that fund. And if you don't, because as much as you guys get in, you get out. Like, we heard three kids got a move-in or whatever. So right. Two came in, three, so the net is something I think, we all realize you have transient people, but just as much as people come in, people go out. So let's just say it stays flat and you need the 330. It just would be expended out of that reserve fund. You would still be able to pay your bills for special ed out of that 330. It just doesn't slide up. And then Rob, to your point, it doesn't compound the NBR for next year.
And that's what I wanted to also share for Rob. It doesn't. So if
Rob fell off his chair. Hang on.
I'm still here.
No, it'll still impact. It impacted the MBR by 600,000. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't going to affect the MBR for next year because in the next year's budget, then it would be a bigger increase.
The way you're doing it now would not impact next year, sir. It would not be compounded.
It will by the teacher salary raises, $601,000, yes.
Yes, but not by additional leg costs.
Yeah. No, it'll be less than that, but yeah. But of the 380 you're going to get back, that's not all special ed, is it? Part of that is just back from transportation for regular pupils that weren't taken to school on a bus, isn't it?
I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
Of the 380,000 you hope to get back, that isn't all special ed refund, is it? Isn't part of that just transportation refund?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, it's transportation, special ed transportation, and private providers.
What portion is just regular transportation? Do you know?
I do. Give me one second.
$137, Madam Chair.
$137,
because the number was 380, right?
Yep.
At the
yeah,
risk and ops sheets from today.
Yeah, with my op sheet from today, it would be $382.52. Yeah, 128 is the right number. 128.
You'll make that out.
Yeah, Mark, are you here?
Yes, Judy, I am here.
Hi.
Hi.
You'll make that out quick. That'll be made up, no problem. Yeah.
Anyway, that's my bottom line. I would say give them at least that because we've kept them flat, so we can't do that forever. And if it raises an extra mill rate, then it's time the people go fight the fight and don't make the tax board try to do the whole fight for them because I'm tired. So that's my bottom line. I've spoken. So do I have any other suggestions and numbers we want to leave? Remember, this is the number that will be put in order to put together a preliminary budget, which will pop out of the computer, not my spreadsheet, and it can still have a little bit of adjusting. We're going to try to get it down to 3. And then you guys get to think about it, and then you're going to do your voting on Thursday. But if you'd rather have another number to start from on Thursday, this is your opportunity to recommend that number. So it's either 12,351 or it's 12,850. Well, no, we actually have the 380. So it's 12,420.
I'd ask what the will of the board is, and of course Dr. Conway's input on this, but if we earmark the 380, however you want to do that, and put it in there so he can use it for special ed.
Yeah, well, we definitely want to hopefully put it down so it doesn't go into the MBR if that's possible.
Match the 380, make it to 6 or 7, and we split the difference with his ask of $1,000,001.
So what does that come out to? What are you saying then? Give me some numbers.
Increase it to 380. Match his 380 that he's given us.
Increase, what are we increasing?
That brings it up to 760. And then it reduces it down. It reduces his ask of $1,000,001.
Is this the new math, Sammy? I'm sorry. Okay, so he's asked for 12,850,627. Start there. What would you do to that 12,850?
No, his increase was 5.7, right? 5.9.
Don't go by percentages. He's asked for 12,850,627. Do you have the spreadsheet up? That's the one with all the numbers on it. And I'm sorry. I'm very tired. I'm being sarcastic. I apologize. That is not necessary, Judy. Okay, I've slapped myself. So they asked for 12,850,627, and they're saying they can reduce from their 380 right off the top because of the expected refund. Now that leaves their ask at 12,470.
I'm looking at their change of last year. We're okay, $1,099,710.
That's what it started out, but now we can take 380 off of that. So right now, if we just take that off.
Yep. All right. I was just doing, okay. I was doing, but whatever.
Okay, that brings their increase to 719,710. They're asking. And I'm saying, no, I want to limit that to 601. Because those are the teacher salaries. That's the compromise, so to speak. I don't think probably Dr. Conway would see that as a compromise. More a grab, but. What would you do different, Sam?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Dr. Conway.
So what we could live with would be the 12, when I look at things that were added back in that we took out over the past 2 years. We added things back in. As I shared at my presentation, those are things that are needed for the district. We've been without them for 2 years. We added them back in. Some of those things consist of bringing our custodial staff back up to full complement. Our custodial supplies we've depleted over the past 2 years. We've reduced it each of the past 2 years. Our custodial overtime, we have reduced. Those are three big categories in that. And if you give me 1 second, I'm just gonna share some more reductions. Uh, Retirement payout is, if I removed that, which again, we just don't know if we're going to have one, but we would come back to you if we did, I guess, but you can pull it out of there. Custodial floater, I mentioned. Custodial OT, I mentioned.
The assistant to Dina.
Executive, thank you, an executive assistant at 31. Assistant coaches.
Yep.
Speech services. The difference between the staff versus the contracted. Building and repair maintenance. A para learning center stipend. All of those things, if I pulled those out and found somehow, hopefully, grants to recoup some of them, I'm thinking a couple of them I might be able to recoup through the CARES Act, possibly.
Yep.
Other things I will just continue to live flat with. That total comes to $299. So you've removed $499 from the budget. If you can bring it back to $12,551.
You're trying to put another $200,000 back.
Then I would eliminate all of those things.
Your ask is going up, Dr. Conway. I don't like to be.
I'm sorry?
You don't give dogs treats at the table because then all of a sudden their paws are on the table.
No, it's my original with $12,850. You dropped it down to just cover salaries. And I'm just asking, there's.
No, but we drop it down. If we drop it down just by the refund, we drop your $12,850,627 down just by the refund, we're at $12,470,627, right?
Yes.
You're asking, what's your number?
$12,551.
See, that's then not giving us the $380, so you've increased.
No, that's still giving you.
No.
You're reducing my overall budget. So the 380 is going into the non-lapsing.
Yeah. But,
so if you want to reduce it by the 380, if you just reduce it by the 380, I would live with that.
So the one in question then would be the extra $118,710.
Okay. Correct.
The problem is the city told all of our departments that they can't hire anybody new this year because of all of our financial.
Yeah, I would do any new hires would, again, we have a part-time executive assistant and two coaches. Again, we were going to bring our custodial staff back up to full complement. We know going into the new school year with the additional disinfecting every single day, and if we're doing multiple sessions, it's twice a day, that I am going to after either contract for those services, and I'm not saying the municipality is going to have to pay for this. I don't know where the money's coming from. I do know I'm going to have to either contract for services or increase my custodial staff to keep up on the disinfecting at once a day, never mind twice a day, in addition to the regular cleaning of rooms. So we were going to ask that we bring the floater back to the custodial staff and their OT back, but I'll pull those out and shift them into either the CARES Act or other funding from the federal government that I can find. But I'm trying to keep everything else at least at the minimum level, so I'm not making yet even more cuts beyond that $299. But
Hold on. I need another piece of paper. I'm running out of, I've scribbled over everything on my desk. Okay. So you asked for $12,850,627, and now you're saying you could make it with $12,551?
Correct.
000, or there's more onto that? Just $12,551?
I rounded just for my own purposes.
Okay, that's fine. Rounding's good. So that is. Okay, so that's the $299,627.
Yeah, so 12. Yeah.
That's an ask of an extra $100,000. Because if we took your $12,850 and we took your $380 off, we're lower than that. So you're adding back on, like $80,000. that you didn't ask for before.
I've always asked for it. I asked for the 12,850.
Yeah.
So I've asked for it.
Yeah. But,
and again, you're reducing it by
380.
Right. Okay. Okay.
So you're saying don't take out that. So what if we have the 12?
Now, if that's going into the non-lapsing, then you're then I'm okay.
Okay, so we take the 12,850,627. We take away the 380. And then instead of taking away the whole, let me see,
380 goes into the non-lapsing.
Instead of taking away the whole 118, I will leave stuff in there except for those new positions. And the new positions we said were 39,000 coaches and her, right?
Yes, correct.
39,000. That would put us at 12,431,627.
Okay.
That way, all we've done is take out the part that's going down to your thing anyway, and then we've taken out the new hires because that's what we did on our side.
That is fair.
So this would become a little bit higher because of the things you mentioned, 12,31,627. Correct?
Yes. And thank you.
And that leaves it at 3. Never get a Dell with a touch screen because it'll just go everywhere it wants to all by itself. Okay. So it looks like we're more at 3.25 with that, because I think that might be too much for Keith to find. I don't know, though. Keith is pretty clever. Right, Keith?
This one's going to be tough.
But you're clever. Super. You're going to be super clever this time. Okay. So, again, I asked the board. So, Sam, does that work for you? I'm not quite sure I understood your thing. It's just not because it didn't make sense, because you just go about it a different way than I do. So.
All good.
Okay. Who else?
Judy, it's Ray. I'm aligned as well.
Okay.
I think they should get more than just the salary increases. I mean, there was increases in pupil services that we discussed last week are a direct result of the work that they do to try to reduce special ed. And then, you know, you bring students back in, there's a cost to that. So, they should. I think that should be funded. They shouldn't be punished for the work they're doing that we ask them to do, because we're always complaining about special ed. So
that's true. Mike, how do you feel about this number? You live with that?
Yeah, I think that's fair, Judy. I agree with, you know, I kind of liken it to what we did with Storm, and, you know, you took out the money for the ambulance, but it's, if they still need that, it's there for them to use if they need it. So I think it's fair.
Carlo, what are you thinking?
Right now, it's hard to waive it because we know that people, I don't know if people are going to be able to afford the increase. So it's nice to give the special ed all the money, or the Board of Ed all the money they asked for, or even with the reduction. But I'm not sure if people are going to end up paying or end up being able to pay the increases that we're going to have. And I'm not just saying on the Board of Ed side, I'm saying because of all of the increases we're having citywide.
I agree. Although if we look at the last four years, it comes out to 1.4 mils a year.
Right, but what Keith was saying, though, there's going to be a point where no one's going to be able to pay. And then are we reaching that point yet? Or have we already reached it? And then the worst situation is if we tax and then we don't have the money or come up short, then what do we do? That's the only thing that I keep going back and forth on. Sure, I would love to give the Board of Ed as much money as we possibly could, but where do we draw the line for not only the Board of Ed, but for all the other departments as well?
I agree. I'm just feeling the pressure as the Board of Ed, not me necessarily, but as the Board of Ed, not the Board of Ed, the tax board. I apologize, Dr. Cohn. As the tax board, not the Board of Ed. I feel that there's just undue pressure on us year after year for us to make decisions that I think the town should be making. Be it by referendum, be it whatever, is it up to the tax board to cut back on education or to close the library or one of the firehouses, or I'll just throw it all out there. Is it up to us to do horrible things like that? Or should it?
But with respect to Judy, everything we have done, as of what I've known over the time we've been on the tax board, we haven't laid off any personnel either on the city side, and probably not on the city side, and probably not on the Board of Ed side either.
No, right. And I think that's because we understand our responsibility. I'm just saying it's getting too hard because I think we're coming to a new phase where we do have to do something. I don't think it should be on the tax board.
Well, and again, going back to, if we look across the state, we see that many towns and cities are also cutting people as well. So maybe that's something. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but maybe that's something you have to start looking at, unfortunately.
No, I agree. But I'd like the town to be saying, well, let's go back a little on education, or let's lay off people here or there. I don't think it should be just up to the tax board. We can sound the alarm. And the way we sound that alarm is saying, here's another mill rate increase.
Town of Seymour votes. They have the citizens vote on the budgets that presented.
Yeah. And I guess you're looking at this now, Sam. You guys are going to be looking at this on the charter revision, right? Some maybe possible options, new options in the future. Who else would like to? So, Jimmy, I haven't heard anything from you. Are you still with us?
Oh, I'm still with you. I'm listening. The only thing at some point we are going to have to look at cutting positions. And that's the only way you're going to be able to bring the budget under control.
Yeah.
Wages have gotten out of control. They keep going up 2-3% every year. Medical benefits keep going up higher and higher.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is.
It's difficult.
I do know the police department will have somebody retiring in the fall. I don't know if they're going to fill that position or not. Public Works has somebody that wants to go down to the sewage treatment facility. So there'll be an opening there. Between those two positions, you're probably talking $140,000.
Yeah.
Well, 140, probably with another 40,000 for health benefits added onto it.
Yeah, any wage, you have to look at it twice by the time you get all the benefits paid. Okay, thank you. Who else have I don't think Rose, did you make it on? I haven't heard from you. Brian, did you have anything else to add? Are you fairly comfortable with that number?
Yes, I mean, I'm comfortable, and I think it's good that we have the opportunity to have a conversation about how we have to increase the grant list. You know, I think someone put it best themselves in saying that, you know what, there's only so much we can do, and we have this, only so much we can do on the defense, and we have to start an offense. And if this is the catalyst for the conversation we need to create growth in this town, so be it.
Oh, my God, I'm agreeing with a Democrat here. So I'm sorry. Apologize.
You agree with me?
Wow. I think my skin just turned purple.
Wouldn't be bipartisan, Judy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I think, well, this is what I love about this board. It is very bipartisan. So anything else you guys want to view? So this would be the starter point, Keith, right?
Yes, ma'am, for Thursday's.
For Thursday's prelim, and you would get in touch with me. I mean, if you have any numbers you still want to fix, obviously you would present that at the beginning Thursday to tell us.
Correct.
Things have been changed.
We'll get in tomorrow, close the door, go line by line. If there's any changes, we'll start off Thursday. We'll publish a preliminary vote for Thursday, public hearing for Tuesday, adoption for next Thursday.
Okay. Have any of the other boards done a public hearing over Zoom yet?
Mr. Garfalo has it down to a science.
Judy, do you mind if I say a few things?
Oh, please, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to leave you out, Chris. I apologize.
No problem at all. On a side note, Mr. Butler, there is going to be a switch from Public Works to WPCA. So that's just a switch. There's no other position's going to open up. They're just switching, as far as I know.
Two people are switching back and forth?
Yes.
Oh, okay. No, I what I heard was just someone was leaving Public Works and going down to the WPCA.
And someone from WPCA is going up to Public Works.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that part of it.
That's on the side note. The other thing I wanted to say is that that another reason it looks like these taxes are going to be going up is because we got ourselves into a $6 million thing where with Johnson Control that we have to pay back now. I would like the aldermen to come to us and inform us before they go into any kind of a something like this again, and see if we have the money. I know this year is a little difficult because of Corona and everything, but they should still come in front of us and discuss it with us, and at least ask our opinion of where we should get the money from, or if we can afford it.
I think they did actually, Chris, but they asked the right questions. We thought it was going to be self-financing from the beginning.
They came to us, I know, at our board meeting and said that they're going out and getting the $6 million loan. And that's all that we heard as board members. You may have heard something different. I don't know.
For more detail. I agree.
Yeah. And can I just chime in on that? Just a second that. This is Brian Coppola speaking.
Okay, Brian, go ahead.
Is there any sort of performance metric we could put onto that for penalties for our timeline, lack thereof?
We haven't. We actually have a third-party engineer that is our owner's rep, and besides tracking when the savings are going to come, if the savings are in accordance with the original model that was presented to us, savings adequate enough to cover the cost, but council is looking at timelines, performance, scope of work. Yes, that is in legal right now. And yes, it's being looked at very closely, Brian.
All righty.
Thank you, Keith. Another question for Keith.
Sure.
Keith, if we take the raises that on the city side everyone is getting, do we know what that total number comes out to about?
Non-union or union only?
Both combined.
I can get that for you tomorrow morning. I do not have that. I don't want to guess.
Thank you.
Now, remember, they did not get raises last year. They got that stipend. So I want to do the hard raise because they actually have a hard percent increase for this coming year. So I'll get you the figure net of that.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Mark, are you still on? Garfalo?
Here.
How do I... I'm on my screen now. I want to know how I can see who's in the room.
Just click on the hit exit full screen. Do you need the budget up there? And
well, I don't, but I'd like to be able at some point have it there and see who's there.
You should be able to, if you go to the top right of your screen.
Shoot, I had something bad here. Yeah, I'm looking at the top right.
What does it say there?
Move
the cursor.
Okay, it says show grid video, show small active speaker video, hide thumbnail video. Those guys?
Thumbnail.
I'm on that now, and I see Dr. Conway. I see Christine Sealing. I see Andrew, who looks like he's at the beach. What's up with that?
Well, you're not going to be able to see everybody who's.
I don't. I just see those four people, and I'm getting bored with looking at just those four.
Well, you have to scroll up and down. You have to scroll up and down.
It won't let me. That's the whole thing. That's what I figured, but it won't. It won't.
If you move your cursor to the bottom profile that you see.
Yeah.
No. I understand, but it's not. There's not a scrolling bar underneath the last person you see.
Yeah.
Wiggle the cursor, and it should. There should be a white arrow.
Wiggling Rob's nose.
Just a little bit.
So, they all went away. Never mind. I'll practice somehow else. Okay. This isn't going to work. All right. So, Andrew now has turned into a pirate. Okay. Very interesting. Anything else? We okay for tonight?
Where are we looking at for the mill rate right now? This is Rob, dude.
I got to get back up here.
I think there's 3.25.
3.25, I believe. Yeah.
Oops, here it is. We're still looking at, we're still projecting a 99% rate.
That's at 99, yeah. So
I think this year is gonna tell a lot, and just going along with what Keith said earlier and Carlo.
Yeah, I don't know though. We've been remarkable. Derby's pretty remarkable in that regard. So
yeah, but so is this year.
Yeah,
so if we don't get the 99%,
yeah,
recovery rate, that's going to tell a lot for next year and what we might have to do.
Hey, Rob, Judy.
Yes.
What if you change that to 97, Judy, in the recovery rate? Let's just see what happens.
Oh. Okay. Whoa, huge. We go up to like 47.
Talking another 3/4 of a mil.
Oh, not much too much.
No. Even more.
Six.
What's a mil, Keith? Like 730?
I thought it was 820, but it's going to change based on the year. But let's just use 820 for now, right?
It's usually between 750 and 850.
We go up to about 46. So, yeah. We'd be up at a mil increase of 4.13.
So we're not that far off.
Yeah.
It's about 3/4 of a mil.
Almost a mil, yeah. Yeah, because it's a lot of money with the 97. I mean, we could say 98.
Might okay, be so let's just expand on Rob's point, Rob's statement. And I'm not saying change it, but we do 99. We collect 97.
Yep.
We have an instant deficit of, what was the number, 600,000?
Yeah. We could try 98. 98, we'd have to go up to 3 3/4.
And I agree, it's a distinct possibility that out of all the years, this would be the year that we won't collect the 99%.
Yeah.
The only other thing, Carlo, as I'm thinking about is you'd have a new year in arrears, right? Not the current year, but the prior. If we did a tax sale, that would get some of that money for delinquents. Not delinquents in the current year, those who were in delinquent in grand list 19.
Plus, isn't it true? I mean, won't it be somewhat true that even if our recovery rate is off a little bit, but we still program it for 99, aren't we bringing more back down to the fund this year because of the COVID? Have we saved any money?
Yeah, I was going to ask that as well. With any cost savings drop in potentially this year?
Maybe enough if we've saved, it's dropped in, that would kind of shore us up that 1 or 2% recovery rate difference without?
I would say not to the same dollar amount, because think about it. Doc's out of school March, April, May, June, almost 4 months.
Yep.
And their savings is just coming from transportation, right? Labor was stayed the same. Utilities are slightly down. Our labor, we didn't reduce staff. We didn't furlough anyone. I'm thinking out loud, Ray. Buildings, we had some savings in electricity, but we're not saving 600,000, you know, because of Corona. The only other thing, leave it 99, and let's map out some pros and cons to that number, and I'll email it to you just for reflective purposes.
The fair? Other thing we haven't put into this grant list number yet, what was awarded by the assessment appeals, have we?
I don't believe so. I haven't seen a number since you guys finalized.
I don't think it was a lot.
Hey, Keith?
Yes.
Keith, this is Rob. The tax year, the tax bills, when do you expect them to go out? Or hope at best?
Rob, be going? The goal was if you do a preliminary on the 11th, public hearing on the 16th, vote on the 18th, we'd get them to the printer on the 22nd, and they would go out by the 30th.
All right, so they would still be due July.
Well, don't forget that if you have a mortgage and your taxes are in escrow, the escrow company will pay your taxes by July 31st.
Correct.
If you have motor vehicle, personal property, or you're paying your taxes non-escrow, you have until October 1st.
Okay, so we are potentially looking at 3 months of not collecting taxes.
And when we did went to the Board of Aldermen approval, myself, Walt, Denise, we ran a cash flow model where we figured that we get about $6 million in escrow from taxes from escrow, that would sustain us to get us to October without, we wouldn't have to shut down anything or stop paying bills. We would be okay getting to October 1. So that's why we went with that model, Rob, is that we're getting still get that injection. We're going to still get that injection of cash by July 30th.
Okay, so are we looking like October 1 and then January for the second half?
Yeah, that would stay the same for residential. So okay. 10-1 if you're non-escrow, then 131 if you're non-escrow too. But only the first payment goes back to 10-1.
Right. Okay.
All righty. Any other questions, anybody? Remember, and think about this. I mean, we can still do some more discussion Thursday, obviously, before we take that preliminary vote. So this is not over, but we got to just stop at some point and say, okay, let's try this. Anything else? Okay, I'm going to call this meeting adjourned at 8:31. Thank you, everybody.
Great. Thank you, Judy. Great.